Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I mean, I've said it before, and I know I'll take flack for it. As Westbrook is at the free throw line, as the call on the floor stood, the challenge by Doc Rivers. I think Ben Simmons is one of, if not the most overrated players in the NBA. And he's gotten so much love and attention that people aren't paying attention to what Tobias Harris is actually doing on the floor.
So that's like a home recording, I think, with some guys editorializing with the whistle, like, no, he didn't. Justin Kutcher's the voice of the Wizards on NBC Sports Washington. And he's not going to say this, probably, so I'll say it for him. He called Ben Simmons overrated, and he would go on to say he's an incredible defender who is a liability on offense because he can't shoot, basically. I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. He can correct me if he wants to. He got death threats at its worst, like on social media.
Which is not okay.
People were so angry and so mad at him, and he was made like the villain of basketball for days on end, and everyone was angry and furious. And now everyone's saying the exact same thing that Justin Kutcher said months ago. Without further ado, he joins us now on the BetQL
Victory Lap 30, Justin.
Guest hotline. My guess is you're not going to be willing to take a victory lap, but I'm just going to tell you, I didn't forget, Justin. I haven't forgotten.
Well, guys, first of all, it's great to be on. It's been too long, and I appreciate it. I'm not going to take a victory lap, honestly. It was never meant to be a personal shot at Ben Simmons, and I feel badly for him, to be honest with you. To go what he's gone through, I think so much of this is mental, and once it becomes mental, it becomes a huge issue. But... you know, it's crazy. I will say, when I said what I said on the air, I wasn't looking for attention. It was to try to have a conversation with Drew. I knew I would take some flack. I didn't think it would turn into what it did. And I never thought it would lead to death threats and people telling me I should go slit my wrist and kill myself. So that was kind of crazy.
Go through that a little bit, Justin, because you're right. I mean, it's in the flow of the broadcast, and you guys are sort of, you know, we're talking. I forget the exact game.
I mean, it is uncommon that a play-by-play guy will say something like that, but I'll say this, Justin. You guys have a different kind of vibe going, whereas you and Drew seem to have this ongoing dialogue all game long where you're, like, talking hoops and asking him questions. He's asking you questions. So if someone doesn't know that, it does seem really weird, maybe, that a play-by-play guy in D.C. would say that about a player in Philly. But watching you guys for every game, you don't have, like, the same dynamic you might when you're doing a network game with a color guy.
Yeah, truthfully, the way that whole thing came up was prior to the game, Drew and I were talking about Tobias Harris and how great of a season he was having. And what I said to Drew off the air was, you know, it's because of Simmons that Tobias is not an all-star. And I go, look, Philly is going to get two guys on the all-star team. One is going to be Embiid. That's, you know, a guarantee. I go, so who's the second guy going to be? And the first name you think of other than Embiid on Philadelphia is Ben Simmons. But Simmons isn't having the year that Tobias Harris is having. And I thought he was getting overlooked because of Simmons, and I didn't think Simmons was deserving of it. So it was just us having the conversation. And the game was a 20-point blowout game. So at that point, you're looking to have a conversation with your analyst. And that's all it was meant to be. And then it turned into this whole big thing. And it went viral and it went crazy. Again, I never intended for that. And I don't wish ill will upon Ben Simmons. I think he's a really good player. I really do. And I think he's a valuable guy. I just don't think he's that superstar that you build a team around.
Justin Kutcher with us here on Grant and Danny. Speaking firsthand, NBA Twitter sometimes giveth. And sometimes it taketh away, I would
say. NBA Twitter's been okay to you, Danny.
I've had a nice time. I impersonate Charles Barkley, and everybody thinks I'm great.
I mean, I can't be like you. I can't do those imitations like you can.
It's been good for me. But
a great zing.
Well, shtick aside, though, Justin, could you go through some of that? I mean, listen, agree or disagree, it's a conversation. You know, Grant and I do this every day. We have opinions. People don't like it. They feel very entitled and comfortable saying terrible stuff social media wise that they wouldn't normally say in public or in person. But go through some of that stuff that you heard of. I know you touched on a couple of those things, but did you have to change anything? Did you have to have like meetings and talk about security and things?
No, I didn't have to talk about security because we weren't traveling. Had we been traveling and gone to Philadelphia, I may have had to. But I will tell you this. I turned off all my notifications on Twitter, on Instagram. I think you guys know I really haven't been that active on social media. So it wasn't like I was sitting here trying to get attention for what I said or to get more followers or any of that stuff. But what ended up happening is I'm kind of OCD. I hate when I have emails unread, when I have text messages unread. And so if I were on Twitter and I saw the blue dot, I'd want to just get rid of it. So I'd scroll up. And when you're scrolling up, it's inevitable to see people saying, you know, F you, go kill yourself. You don't deserve this job. You know, I hope you die. And it's not exactly a great feeling.
Nope.
So you try to avoid it, but it's impossible to completely avoid it because to get rid of those messages, you have to see what people say. And I thought it was a total overreaction by people to do that. I really didn't respond to anybody. I don't think it warranted a response. And it's I personally think social media is a really bad thing. When you have like a mental awareness month and people say hashtag mental awareness on social media, it is the ultimate like oxymoron because the way that people suffer from mental health is because of the bullying on social media. So it's ironic.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. I'll say this. I was sent recently by somebody this tweet and I've saved it for myself to look at when I need to. Less than 8% of U.S. is active on Twitter. Less than 8% of the country is active on social media. Fewer when screening for even political Twitter, let's say, but this was a political tweet. But if Twitter were a district, it would vote like, say, Portland, Oregon. 10% of users create 80% of content, which focuses mostly on politics. The point is, don't confuse Twitter for like the real life world that we're all right. living in necessarily. What I took out of that was 8% of adults in this country are active on Twitter, and people are just comfortable saying things that they wouldn't necessarily say. But I thought about you today when I woke up as I'm seeing everybody talk about Ben Simmons, and they're basically saying what you once did, which was unbelievable defender, good basketball player, but let's all settle down with this. He's a superstar. He can't make shots, and he's hit 5 shots from 10 feet or further out in almost 40 playoff games now. It's unbelievable. Before we let you go really quickly, Wizards have moved on from Scott Brooks. Do you have a thought on what the next head coach should be like as a candidate or what they should bring to the table? Is there someone you would interview? What are your thoughts on their coaching search?
So first things first, let me say this about Scott Brooks. I know a lot of people gave him flack. I can't imagine having a better coach for me to deal with as my first time in the NBA. Scott Brooks is an absolutely awesome person. He's real. He's genuine. Stuff that he said to me, I couldn't believe. I was in awe of how cool he was to deal with. And I wish him nothing but the best of luck. I hope he gets a head coaching job somewhere because I want to see him around the league. You know, it's weird as far as people that I think could be a good fit. I think you want someone who's got experience because you've got Westbrook, because you've got Beal. I think you want to be in a win-now situation. At the same time, you want someone who's good with young players, like with Rui, Denny, Gafford, those guys. A guy that I've thought about that I think would be a good fit, and trust me, I trust Tommy Shepard. I think Tommy's done an unbelievable job. But the name that I keep on going back to is Kenny Atkinson. Kenny Atkinson, he took a team in Brooklyn that many people didn't expect. He developed Spencer Dinwiddie. He developed Caris LeVert. He developed Jared Allen. He made them a playoff-caliber team. And then they fired him because Kyrie wasn't happy. Well, Kyrie's basically never happy. And then he goes to L.A., and he's helping the Clippers, who are in the Western Conference Finals right now. So that's the guy that I would have at the top of my list because of his experience with X's and O's, with handling young players and older players, and just being a head coach.
A couple pretty good candidates on that Clippers coaching staff, I might add there,
no
Justin.
Kidding.
Really appreciate the time, dude. And even if you won't take the victory lap, even if you're riding right now on the high road, you got us. You got a couple reps over here. Just reminding everybody who was correct and who wasn't. Thank you, buddy.
Well, if you can, Danny, just do it in the Barkley voice, and then that'll be my victory lap.
Well, Justin Kutcher said was correct, all y'all a-holes, because you called him names, and you was wrong. He was right. Eat that. Swallow that. Have a digestion because of that. Justin Kutcher, right out.
That was awesome. I love it. Thanks, man.
Thanks, pal.
Right, be well, Justin. Thank you, buddy. There's Justin Kutcher on Grant and Danny. I mean, the same people who were saying the terrible things to him are the people today that are running Ben Simmons out of town.
Well,
it's something to remember.
It's just fascinating how this whole thing went, because there's certain guys, and I wanted to ask him about this, but you know, we ran up against it. Certain guys are part of a protected class where you can't insult them or you can't criticize them. And somehow guys get there without achievement. I'm always amazed at how that happens.
So I want to talk with you about mundane things you're afraid to do, because Ben Simmons has become afraid to shoot the basketball, mm-hmm. which is an important part of basketball. But right now, we got to go out to a court near us because Janice and Ryan are at the court across the street on South Capitol. So, Janice, how are you doing? Are you there? Have you found Ryan?
I'm here. I have found Ryan. The time lapse is running. He refused a drink of water that I brought him, and it is hot as blazes.
All right. She brought him water. What a nice...
She's so nice.
...listener turned producer of this...
Director.
...video that she's putting together. All right, so... Why did he refuse the water? I'm curious about that.
Says he's good.
Toughness. Just to show that he was
dying,
tough.
He's dying to start. He wanted to start shooting 10 minutes ago.
Has he taken any warm-up shots at all or anything like that?
Yes, and they seem to go well. I was halfway paying attention. They seem to go well.
All right, so without further ado, tell him he's good to start right now. Let's get the competition going. He is trying to... make more than 34 out of 100 after Ben Simmons just broke the Shaquille O'Neal record for worst free throw shooter in the history of the NBA playoffs. So has he taken any shots?
Yes, he has missed two.
He missed his first two shots?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Can you describe generally the form? What are you seeing? Are you seeing any kind of knee bend?
Also, is it herky-jerky? Also, every time he shoots if he makes it or misses it, for the record.
Okay, so we're up to three misses. The form looks pretty good. I think he's just not putting enough oomph into it. He keeps hitting the little front of the rim.
Oh, the little front of the rim. Ryan, yep. We need
you
more muscle.
Swish! We have a win. We have a swish.
He made one, so he's
right.
At 1 for 4.
He made one.
So at this
one
pace.
25%.
At this pace, he will not beat Ben Simmons. I need that stated for the record. He is 1 for his first 4.
It's a big shot. Get yourself to 40% right here. Then you're back on pace. All it takes is one good afternoon. Get the average up.
All right, we missed another one.
Okay. Oh, my God, we're 1 for 5. Darius, he might not do this. I'm a little bit nervous.
Oh, we got one.
2 for 6.
Now, that's Ben Simmons-esque right there.
When he misses, is it like clanking and he's got to go run and get it, or are they generally coming roughly back to him?
They're generally coming right back to him.
Okay, because he's missing short, so they're just going right back at him.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
So 2 for 6.
2 for 7.
Oh.
2 for 7. So how many times does he dribble before he shoots? Like, what is his – everyone has their own regimen at the line. Can you kind of call the play-by-play of, is he like 2 dribbles, spin the ball? What does he do?
Sorry, he's asking me questions. You're asking me questions. I'm sorry, Grant. You have made two, and you have missed six. All right, he dribbles a couple of times, a little bounce, up on the toes, and missed another one.
Two for nine. Or seven.
No, he's two for nine. He's two for nine.
No, he was two for six.
No,
two
she
for
said
seven.
You've made two and missed six.
Missed six. Two for nine.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
He's not going to do it.
Janice, does he seem shaken at all? Has his confidence started to wane?
Stop him at 10. We need to talk to him.
Okay. Okay, they want to talk to you. He missed that one. So we have two made, and we have, I'm sorry, we're at 11 now. So.
Two for 11?
So he's missed nine and he's made two?
That's correct.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
Ryan, they want to talk to you. Come over here for a second. Here.
Thank you, Janice.
Thanks, Janice.
Sure, no problem.
Coordinating this entire
great
enterprise.
Job. She's coordinating the whole thing.
She tweeted, she was like, hey, do you want portrait or landscape? And I was like, what do you want? You
also,
do it.
Keeping track for him, he's not. He's like, what am I? She's also talking to us. There's a lot going on.
You can count the makes pretty easy.
Hey, Ryan.
Yes.
You're two for 11?
Yeah, we hear you, pal.
Yeah. It's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. I'm built as a champion. I go down 2-0. I come back and win in 4-2. It's all right.
Didn't go down 2-0. You went down 2-9. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's
how champions are made.
Is it the heat? Sometimes. Is it the rim? Like, what's going on, dude?
I'm going to be honest. It's the heat. It's so hot out here.
Well, why'd you not drink any water,
no
bro?
Excuses. I forgot my water, but it's fine. It's fine.
She offered you water. What do you mean you forgot your water?
I know, but it's room temperature. It's okay, though. I appreciate Janice for at least thinking and bringing a bottle of water.
So right now you've made two and you've missed nine. You're two for 11. What's that percentage, Danny?
That's like 12%, 13%.
Okay, you're 22% off pace, bro.
It's all right. Well,
just
champions are made
right
when it's on the line. Champions are made, guys.
I was so confident. So confident.
Ryan, stick aside, dude. Has your confidence waned at all? Like, are you a little bit less confident than when you started a few minutes ago?
I would say I was at 100% confidence when I left the building. I'm at like a 95% confidence. I'm still confident, but I'm not going to lie to you. It went down a little bit.
Yeah. But you right now have to hit 33 of your next 89 shots. So what is that percentage, Danny? 33 divided by 89.
That is...
This is like when the Nats get off to a slow start and they got to play 650 ball.
Yeah, and they did it one time.
Right.
37% is what he's got to do. So that's doable. He's at 18 now. He's got to more than double that.
Right, you have to be twice as good the rest of the way to just beat Ben Simmons. You're okay with that?
Yeah. Yes, I'm good. I actually prefer it to be like this. I perform my best when pressure is on me. And
okay.
I'm feeling the pressure. I'm feeling the heat. They put down the put up the temperature. I mean, not down. It's hot. But it'll be fine. It'll be good.
I don't know what he's talking
Mother
about.
Mother Nature's challenging me.
All right, we'll talk to Janice again,
please. That's what I'm trying to say.
We'll talk to Janice. Right. Darius, you're shaking your head.
I'm just disappointed in my guy. He was so confident.
What was your level of confidence?
Not as high as his.
So you thought there was a chance he wouldn't hit 35%?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I thought
that. I mean, I thought that was on the table.
I did not.
Right, right.
I wouldn't have bet on that. I would have said it's much more likely that he makes at least 33%.
Am I overrating how hard it is to make a free throw?
No. You're appropriately rating it.
He's missed 9 of 11.
Yeah.
Janice, do we have you back?
Yes, I'm back. We are now 3 swishes and 10 bricks.
Oh, so we're 3 for
3 for 13.
13.
3 for 13.
So that's okay.
We're starting to get there. We're almost to 25%.
All right, so here's what we're going to do, Janice. We're going to check in with you when we come back here on Grant and Danny to see he can keep shooting. This is like NASCAR or wrestling. We're just going to rejoin the match as if nothing happened. And you'll update us in a few minutes, okay?
Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you, Janice.
Thank you very much to Janice, who is with us, coordinating this entire event, making my dreams come true. Will our assistant producer, Ryan, be a better free throw shooter than Ben Simmons? That's the question. He is 3 for 13 right now. Slow start. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced. Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Double play coming up at 3:45. We are going blitzing at 4, including convos on the Nats, who are white hot, and the Washington football team with some news and notes to get to out of the NFL. Let's check in, though, right now over at the court across South Capitol. When we last discussed Ryan's shooting, he had made 3 and missed 10. Was 3 for 13. So, Janice, what are we looking at right now?
Okay, I think I should give you the missed number first.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you the missed number first. It's 27.
Oh, no. That's a lot. Okay.
He has made 21.
No way.
Wait.
No way.
How?
He is on a roll. He has found his stride. He has found his stroke. It is beautiful. I am so impressed.
Wow. Janice is impressed by Ryan. So he has made 18 of his last 35 shots. He's made more than he's missed since we checked in with him initially.
That's and he's made 2 since we started talking. Sorry to interrupt you, Grant.
So is he 23 of 50?
Yes, that is the correct math.
Oh, my goodness.
Dude, he's going to pummel Benson.
46%.
Let's go.
46%.
Ryan, can we talk to him really quick? I hate to break up his rhythm, but we do have to check in with him just momentarily.
Okay, they want to talk to you. He's coming over.
Is he still at 23 of 50?
He just made one more.
24 of 51.
Yes.
So he's on pace to be upwards of close to 50%.
He's at 47 now.
He's going to take a sip of water.
All right.
My mediocre room temperature water.
Yeah. Did you hear that, by the way? That's been a theme with him, Janice, is his mom like makes dinner for him every night, and he's like, no thanks. I don't like your cooking. I'll stop at Cava.
You know what?
He's such an ingrate.
I would also like to have a mom who cooked for me.
Same.
He said he wants her to provide a menu each day. Ask which sides
Let
he
him
wants.
Know in advance.
Yeah.
This man is never getting married. Okay, here you go.
I'm here.
Ryan, first of all, Janice is impressed by you, but also said that you're never getting married. So those two things are somewhat counterintuitive. However, 24 of 51.
Way to go.
Bro.
I see you grows up and you grows
you're
up, guy.
Yeah. What happened?
I told you. I'm a champion. Champions don't start out fast. They end fast.
So
how it is.
So was there a moment where you hit like 7 or 8 in a row or you were just letting it fly?
I definitely hit, I think, about 8 or 9 or up 10, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah, I got hot.
Attaboy. All right, well, we
you
were
come
nervous.
For the king, you better not miss.
We're confident again. Don't get overconfident, but we're confident again.
You're shooting 47%. I would settle down a little bit.
All right, so...
To be fair, these rims are trash.
All right, so here's what you got to do. If you do get to 33, we want you to stop so that we can hear you. If you can get past Simmons, do that on the air, okay?
Got it.
All right.
No big deal.
Tell Janice we'll check back in
back.
In a little bit.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. So there you go. 24 of 51.
How about it?
24 makes, 27 misses. Ben Simmons, eat your heart out.
Hack of Clary would still work, but not that well.
Not as well as Hack of Simmons. All right, so you brought this up. I thought this was interesting. And people can chime in on this on the phones. I think that could be fun. At 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067.
An integral part of playing basketball is shooting the basketball. That's one of the first things I learned how to do. Yesterday, at Father's Day, there's a bunch of kids that were out hanging out, ranging from age like 4 all the way up to 8, that were learning how to shoot a basketball. And here's me with a demonstration. You put your hand under the ball, your left hand's your guide hand, up and over with your fingertips, yada, yada, yada. Shooting the basketball is a mundane thing. Ben Simmons had 0 field goal attempts in the fourth quarter of the last 3 games. That's not what a confident shooter does. That's what someone who's terrified to do a mundane and basic thing does. So it made me wonder, what are some regular, mundane things, some everyday things that you're terrified of doing? Things that put fear in your heart, that get you, get your palms are sweaty.
That actually scary.
That make you uncomfortable. Because that's more the right word. Makes you uncomfortable.
When I was a kid, up till age maybe like 10 or something, I was petrified about going to get the paper. I would watch America's Most Wanted, and I would just assume. Every time I went to get the paper, it wasn't like we had a 3-mile driveway. 50 feet from my front door, someone was just going to pull up with a white van, throw me in it, and drive off. I was so scared. So, you know, what my dad did was make me go get the paper every single night. And I used to get so upset about it. And I would be like arachnophobia style or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Just screaming bloody murder every night. Please don't make me. Like when I was a little kid, I hated it. Is that kind of what you're talking
about? That's exactly what I'm talking about. So fear isn't the exact right word, but something that's easy, that most people would look at and go, that's simple. Why is that such a hard thing for you? Makes me beyond uncomfortable. I will give you the number one example. I'll do whatever I have to do. I will do whatever I have to do to avoid talking to someone from a company or customer service on the phone. Something that my wife would handle in 10 minutes. And be able to put up with the, no, I don't have my tracking number, login number, ID thing, or the one thing you sent me 10 years ago via mail. I don't have that. And she'd be able to navigate it. And she looks at me like I'm a crazy person when I say, I'd rather take the loss. I'd rather have it all be ruined. The idea that I might have to call some number, wait on hold, answer questions. I get so hysterically uncomfortable. I start to sweat and the anxiety takes over. I cannot do it. I will pay people to do it for me. I can't handle it. So my wife basically has either has to decide. If it's important enough for us as a family, she'll do it, which, you know, because she knows I can't, or I'm too much of a you-know-what to do it. Or we just eat it. We just get kicked in the junk with whatever it is, the bogus charge, the fake, the fraud, whatever it is. I cannot handle talking to customer service on the phone. It makes me so uncomfortable.
It's a good one. I think this works. I am completely unable in all ways and unwilling to try to sleep in any kind of a public environment. And what I mean by that is, not that you're like sleeping on a park bench, but I cannot go to sleep if someone might see me. So I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have to occasionally sleep on the floor at a radio station. I would work really, really late at night until 3 in the morning, and I'd be back on air the next day at 7 in the morning, and I lived close to 40 minutes away from the station. So to leave, I would get home around 4. I'd have to leave to come back in a little bit after 5:30 or something like that.
There's no point in going home.
And, you know, you get home, it's not like you're going to fall asleep right away. So I was like, I'm just going to crash on the floor. But just sleeping in the room where they have the couch that's like open glass and people can look into, unacceptable to me. Someone might see me asleep. They might hear me make a sleeping noise as they walk by.
I love this
one. So I would go into the little back studios, the small recording studios, and I couldn't just sleep in those, even though no one would ever walk by because it was a glass door. I would have to get underneath of like the desk in there and block the front with chairs and then sleep under the desk so that no matter what, no one could ever possibly see me. And one time, actually, first thing in the morning, someone came in to use one of those studios, and I was like under the desk, and it was the most—
You were mortified.
—awkward thing in the world. It's like, this guy knows I'm asleep. Same thing if someone calls me and I was asleep.
You have to pretend not to be.
Hello, hello, hello. And they're like, oh, sorry, did I wake you up? And I'm like, no, no, of course not. Why would you have woken me up?
Like, why are you so embarrassed about sleeping?
It's like, well, it's 6:30 in the morning. I might have woken you up. No, I wasn't sleeping. Who sleeps at 6:30 in the morning?
I've been up for hours. I tell you.
The idea that someone might know that I was asleep for some reason, it bothers me so much. I've got one more. I'm sure you have others, but let's take a couple calls. 800-636-1067 is the number, 800-636-1067. So you're suggesting this as the thing that you're afraid to do that is really, really normal?
Yeah, what mundane thing makes you uncomfortable? Like, it's cripplingly uncomfortable.
Let's go to Tony in Fredericksburg on the Fan. Tony, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Grant Day?
Hey, bud.
How are you, buddy?
All right. So I'll tell you, the most mundane thing that drives me crazy that I'm afraid to do is when I'm doing laundry and the wife has me folding fitted sheets.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's actually like a skill that it's almost impossible to possess. But are you afraid to do it, or are you just annoyed to do it?
No, it actually brings me anxiety because I have no idea how these corners are supposed to go together, and it comes out as a perfect square rectangle to put it in the closet. So I just end up balling it up.
Every time I ball it up. Every time.
I get frustrated, but just ball it up.
That's also the right way to say it. It gives him anxiety. Shooting a basketball gives this NBA player who makes tens of millions of dollars a year anxiety.
Anxiety.
Clearly. Just like there are pitchers who lose their way and get the yips or whatever.
Yeah, Mackey Sasser, Chuck Knobloch, Steve Sachs.
Well, John Lester. Now, God bless him because he's great at holding runners on because he'll just hold the ball and stare at them until the cows come home. And it's really hard to steal on him. John Lester does not throw over. He's got a yip situation that prohibits him from, like, tossing over to first. He'll very occasionally do it, but almost never. And when he does, it's like a bounce or this weird, like, underhand throw. Did you watch in his last outing?
Uh-huh.
He got, like, a ball that was, like, 40 feet from first base, and he, like, underhanded it all the way over, like a lollipop softball throw.
It makes him very uncomfortable.
That's on this list,
that would be on the list.
Let's go to Kevin in Silver Spring. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Boys, I'm doing all right. I'm actually just finishing, though, one of the things that terrifies me that's kind of a mundane task, and that is driving on the interstate. I am driving from my home, which is in Northern Virginia, out near, like, the Chantilly area, to go grab my dad and go to the O's game. I don't know the last time that you guys have been on 270, but it's like a scene out of Mad Max. It's horrifying, and I hate it. And as much as, like, I have to be on, like, you have to get on the interstate because you have to go places and do things. But I don't like sharing the road with these people.
I get it. My mom will not drive on highways to this day. And it's one of those things I grew up with, so I expect it and know it. It's just part of my family.
Mm-hmm.
When people who aren't in my family hear this, they think it's one of the wackiest things they've ever heard in the world.
This one will pop you, GP. The bridge that we crossed to go into King George.
That's the Harry Nice Bridge. My
Harry
mom doesn't
Nice
drive
bridge.
On that bridge either.
My mom refused to drive across that bridge.
Did she?
She would literally, if she was driving, my dad would switch over to the driver's seat right before we pull up to the gate.
Hilarious.
And then she would duck down in the seat. She doesn't want to see the water. She doesn't want to see anything about it.
That's unbelievable.
It was quite
Your
the show.
Your boy was 16 learning to drive on that bridge. But similarly, my mom won't drive on that bridge. So she's basically on an island, like, landlocked at our house. Because you can't go to Maryland because you can't go over that bridge. And you can't drive the highway. Now, thank God for Route 1. She will and has. I live up here now. She'll drive Route 1 all the way up to my house. It's like, oh, I enjoy it. It's pretty. And it's not that pretty.
It's not that pretty.
It's Jefferson Davis Highway.
There's more stoplights than there is on a highway.
Or maybe they've changed the name by now. I don't know. Have they changed it to something else
I don't
yet?
Know.
Whatever that highway is, it ain't that pretty.
Right.
But she's like, oh, there's trees. And it's like, no. You just hate 95. That's the only difference.
You could just say that.
Just tell me you're never going to drive. I already know that you don't drive on 95, but you'll go 40 more minutes if you have to. 800-636-1067. I got one more really, really good one. So we'll hit that, and we'll take the calls for our double play next. What is the normal, everyday, kind of mundane thing that you're afraid of? And also, we got to check in, because I think Ryan could be on the precipice.
We have an update.
Of passing Ben Simmons and becoming a better free throw shooter than an NBA player. On a random Monday where he didn't in any way prepare. Next on Grant and Danny.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
G&D on the Fan, welcome back. Thanks much for making the show part of your day. Let's get out to the court before we get to our double play, because I think Ryan is closing in on Ben Simmons.
He's on the precipice.
Let's get an update from Janice, a listener who was kind enough to meet him at a D.C. court so that she could keep track on his makes and his misses. She's even recording this for us, so we'll have video evidence that it all happened. Would be a great pull, by the way, if Ryan just paid her off to say that he did it. So, Janice, where are we right now? How are we doing?
Hey, guys. First of all, Danny and Darius are correct. Bridges and calling customer service is terrible.
Very scary.
Yes, they're scary. Okay, we have shot 85 free throws.
85 total.
Are we at 90? Maybe, no, we're at 90. We're at 90 total.
And he still hasn't done it?
Done what?
He hasn't broken Ben Simmons. He is not at 35?
So he is at, so what did I say? We're at 90. Sorry, there's too many numbers here for me. We're at 90, and he has made 42.
Oh, so he's passed Ben
Simmons.
Oh, he
did it already. He's already done it.
So he is officially moved ahead of Ben Simmons, 42 of 90. So he has a chance at being a 50% free throw.
Right now is it 46 and two-thirds percent.
He just made another one.
Nice.
43 of 91.
He's made one.
All right. Yeah, we might as well get to 100 here to get his final total.
He's at 47%.
All right, Brick.
Brick. How bad was that, Brick?
I mean, that's the only word I know. I don't know if it's...
No, but was it bad? Was it ugly?
Nah, it's fine.
All right.
Winner. Swoosh.
Swoosh.
44 divided by 93.
Very basketball savvy.
47.3% for Brick. O'Reilly.
Brick, all right. We're at 93.
We're at 94.
44 of 94. So he's missed 50, Brick. And he's made 44. 44 of 95. By the way, he is so tired.
He is so tired.
He's falling off.
Red.
His face is red?
His face is red. He's been, you know, wiping his brow with his forearm.
Is he sweaty?
How sweaty is he?
I mean, it's hot out here, guys.
No, yeah. It certainly is. And I'd be the sweatiest sweater that ever sweat. But
on a scale of 1 to 10, how sweaty is he?
I mean, I don't think I can see it through his shirt yet, so that's maybe
that's
like
good.
A 7.
Oh, wow.
So, but if
all right, we are at 97.
Has he made any more? Did he miss those two?
He's made a couple. All right, 98. Sorry.
So I got 46 for 98 is what I got.
32,
42. She's got it on paper. I like
99.
That.
99. I'm sorry. This is too much. No, too many numbers for
you're doing okay.
This creative
no, we
throw.
Couldn't do it.
So he's made 45, and we are at one more. Last one. Missed it.
So he shot 45%. Again,
45%.
A better free throw for a shooter than Ben Simmons.
45%.
He did it.
He's very happy. Oh, maybe he's not as sweaty as I thought.
No, I'm
he's like a 5, maybe.
No, I'm a 10.
You want to talk to Ryan, guys?
We'll talk to him when he gets back in studio. So you said he was a 5 out of 10 on the sweaty scale?
I think so, yeah.
Like, if he's your best friend in the world and he meets you for lunch right now and you see him, are you giving him a hug or are you just giving him knuckles?
Knuckles.
More than a 5, probably.
So it's more than a 5. She's being very nice. All right, just tell him we'll talk to him when he gets over here. And we will, by the way, thank you
Janice.
So much,
seriously.
Janice. That was wonderful. And we look forward to seeing this video that you helped him put together.
Yep, all right. Have a good show, guys.
All right, clap it up for
Janice. Thank you, Janice. Janice, everybody.
She made it possible. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to do this.
The facilitator.
Ryan beat Ben Simmons, so we will talk to him about that on the other side when he gets back in here. My guess is he might run over to 7-Eleven first and then come in because there's a 7-Eleven right over there.
He'd be allowed to do that.
He could go get himself a drink, get himself a little snack. He earned it. Like a Victory Lane NASCAR driver or something. Pour the drink all over himself.
You know, a Hostess pie and a Slurpee. Go for it.
Good for you, buddy. All right, it is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. So for our double play today, Danny, we'll just put a bow on the conversation we're having in honor of Ben Simmons' intense anxiety, the yips or whatever you want to call it. He's become Chuck Knobloch throwing to second when it comes to shooting. He had a chance to just dunk a ball last night, and he passed it up and said, no, I'd rather not. So as our double play every day at this time, sponsored by Mattress Warehouse, free next day delivery setup available on all orders over $7.99 and a one-year price guarantee. Learn more at sleephappens.com. We're getting you to list the things that you are afraid to do that give you anxiety that are just everyday normal things for everybody else. You said you had some really good tweets. What do you got coming in on Twitter?
Seeing someone, I'm at Funny Danny Grant's at Grant H. Paulson. Seeing someone you know at a store, having a conversation, saying goodbye, and then seeing that same person again before you leave.
That's a great one. I think everyone, I don't even know if that's like a task that anyone's good at though. You unloaded the clip with all of the pleasantries. And now you got to run it back again. That's tough. Let's go to Steve in Poolsville on G&D. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, bud.
I guess the biggest anxiety I have is anytime I'm driving a vehicle and I have to drive over a bridge over a big body of water, I cannot take my eyes off the road. I'm terrified I'm going to run off the side of the road and into a drink.
And you feel it in your stomach? Like you have intense anxiety?
Oh, man.
I cannot drive, especially I drive for a living, and I'd have to drive over the Bay Bridge 3 days a week.
That's tough.
And if I have to drive during the day, I cannot take my eyes off the road and look at the water. I'm terrified.
Wow. All right. I think that's semi-common. Like, there's a lot of people with that fear. I'll give you another one. For me, I hate just the idea that someone's going to tell the people at the restaurant it's my birthday and they're going to sing me happy birthday. Hate it. So if that were to happen, like I won't go to dinner unless I'm with really close people I trust that are in my foxhole on my birthday. Because if anyone's like,
it's his birthday.
It's his birthday. And like 8 people are like, happy, happy. It's like the worst thing to me. I don't know what it is.
You can't handle it?
I can't do it. I would rather never get a free anything from a restaurant between now and when I die than have to be sung to
than a birthday
and
song.
Have people at other tables looking over like fat guy at
it's
the restaurant
birthday.
Gets a free piece of cake.
So this is, I think you might share this one too. This is from Dan on Twitter. Ordering anything other than a normal coffee at Starbucks. Do you share that one?
Perfect.
Yeah.
I don't go to Starbucks.
But if you did, if like, let's say your lady wife's like, run by Starbucks, pick me something
point.
Up. Yeah.
The reason I don't go is because of the petrified angst, anxiety, the test that I'm not prepared for. I have the same feeling in Starbucks that I had in my Spanish class in college when everyone was speaking Spanish around me and I didn't know what they were saying.
Yo no sé.
And my professor would look at me, lovely lady, and she would say, whatever, I can't do Spanish. Still.
Grant, ¿está verdad?
And I would look at her and I would go, there's not a place on the planet I wouldn't rather be right now.
In the mouth of an alligator.
And I'm just like, hands in the air, like, move along, next person. That's how I feel at Starbucks every single time I go. Deacon's in La Plata. What's up, Deacon?
Hi, I love you guys, but not in a biblical sense.
We'll take it, bro. Thank you.
It may not sound mundane, but I was on swim teams, and I was the only one ever that was afraid to dive. And so I'd be in these swim meets, and you'd see all these people perfectly diving and swimming fast. And I'd have to jump in, from 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. But to make it worse, I was so afraid that someone would know about my fear, that it was unreasonable because I was around swim people and dive people all the time. I made up a lie and said the reason is because I cracked my head on the bottom of the pool when I was 7. But I never really did that.
But you just made that up.
You just had to have a reason. That's so good. Someone here says they can't crack eggs. They say they're like a 2-year-old. So I don't know. So for the life of me, I can't crack an egg. I don't know if they're afraid to do it or they're not good at it or they want the shells. I don't know what that is. Matt says, how do I say this? Let's see.
Throwing curveballs in the bathroom?
Yeah, I'll say Foreman a Grumpy.
There you go.
Anywhere other than at his house. He doesn't like Foreman Grumpy's
anywhere
else.
He can't win on the road.
I've known people that don't like road games. I don't really understand that.
Yeah, I prefer a home game, but like we got to play we are scheduled on the road.
I think I'd prefer a road game.
You'd rather do a road game?
Like a not often used, well-maintained,
sure.
Like the bathroom here with nobody working here anymore.
Uh-huh.
What a lovely experience that is.
Not bad, right?
It's a great stadium to play a road game.
I think it's being afraid of somebody walking in and hearing you making noises.
Well,
if I can say that.
Yeah, you can. I don't know if that qualifies for this because that's a whole nother thing I could talk about. Anyone, like my sleep thing is turned up to 11
mm-hmm.
if I'm on the toilet.
Yep.
I will, like if it
you,
be,
I mean, you are a church mouse.
By the way, Danny could walk in. I'll see his blue shorts, I'll see his shoes. We talk all day long, just two dudes, good friends, right? I will pull my shoes away from anywhere he could see them. I'll silence my phone in case it beeps.
I mean, he'll hide like Schwarzenegger in The Predator.
The idea
covered
if,
in mud.
If Danny yeah. walked in and said, "Hey Grant, what's up, dude? I see you in there." I would be mortified.
You wouldn't respond. Now, when the reverse has happened,
oh, I love it.
You, and I'm like, hey, you know, that's fine. Yeah, you want to do that. It's no big deal.
In fairness, I get a lot of opportunities to talk to you.
I'm a very regular person.
About 3 times a day.
I'm exceptionally regular.
But if Dan
set your watch by me, Darius.
Walked in, if my brother walked in, doesn't matter. I'm going to pull my feet away from, like, to the point where they're up against, or I'll even go, like, kind of sideways on the toilet so that they're, like, up against the end wall or whatever. And I want no one to know. The possibility that someone could know I was in there. And if someone's taking a while washing their hands or whatever.
They're dawdling. Nothing but time. Darius,
never leave the stall if someone's in there washing their hands for fear that they would know that I just formed
a Grant will stay in the gunner stall. There was a time, and in all sincerity, I go, I'm pretty sure I saw Grant go in there. No one else is in there. And so just not even trying to be rude about it or vindictive or like mean. I think I just said, hey, Grant. And he didn't respond. And I was like, maybe I just said hi to some strange person
right.
that was in there. And sure enough, it was Grant, but he wouldn't even talk to me.
No one can know.
No one can know.
Is that qualified
Dude,
for this?
Yes. You sleep and go to the bathroom. You're a human being. Everybody does it. It's okay.
No one's got to know. Grant and Danny on the Fan, our Beltway Blitz is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.